You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 9th of September, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 off by 0.5%. We'll have the details with Damien Bowie from Wilson Asset Management in a few moments, including what he's telling his clients. But first to ANZ, and its CEO Nuno Matos has been in the top job for just 4 months and kept a very low profile. But today he faced the media for the first time as he prepares to slash 8% of the bank's workforce. Around 3,500 jobs will go over the next year, along with 1,000 contractors, at a cost of $560 million pre-tax. So to find out more about why the bank is doing this and what it means and says about the banking sector, I spoke with Nathan Zaya, a senior equities analyst at Morningstar. So Nathan, Nuno Matos has been CEO of ANZ for 4 months. He's kept a relatively low profile, but I guess we know why, because 3,500 employees are going, 1,000 contractors as well. This is over the next year. To what extent, though, do you think this is a surprise? Because there were rumblings of a cut.
Yeah, I mean, the actual quantum is a surprise to me. It is a big number in one fell swoop. But if you look at the cost-to-income ratio of the bank and the rate expenses have been growing, it's not a surprise that action's being taken. You know, we're forecasting ANZ's cost-to-income ratio to be around 53%, and you know, the market leader CBA is at 44%. Even Westpac, which is consolidating systems, is lower at 50%. So, yeah, like the cost out is not a big surprise. Usually we would expect it to happen a little bit more gradually, but it looks like this is CEO saying, look, the starting position is just too high and we need a bit of a hard reset here.
Do we know any more about where these job cuts will be targeted and what it means for the business?
No, not exactly, but I would suspect it's roles in technology and product where management's decided, you know, there's either waste or we're trying to do too many things and we need to focus on our priorities. Yeah, but we should find out more at ANZ's strategy update in October. But we know ANZ has been working on a new retail banking platform, ANZ Plus. So that has brought with it a lot of duplication as you build it out. So I would assume that that is probably something that's going to be pulled or the progress or end state will be changed.
You mentioned that duplication. The bank says it will help simplify its operations and reduce duplication and complexity. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's what ANZ Plus was essentially meant to do. But while you're building it, you're actually adding more duplication. And I think the business as usual stuff maybe isn't getting worked on as much as it should. So you're not seeing, you know, the incrementals or small wins along the way. And I think, yeah, that's in a position ANZ is in now. You know, if they hadn't been doing this major rebuild, maybe they would have spent more on a loan origination platform and service levels in the broker channel would have been better already and that sort of thing. So yes, I think the end goal is still the same, removing that duplication and complexity, but the way they get there looks like it might be a different path being laid.
What about competition in the banking sector at the moment? Just how tough is it and what's driving competition?
Yeah, I mean, it is tough and it has been for some time. I don't think it's gotten any worse in recent months or quarters or even halves. I mean, margins are holding up really well, but the major banks in particular are still grappling with Macquarie being a really strong competitor in that broker channel. And so you need to respond. You need to invest more in your own approval processes. Sometimes it's with price. And then because returns in home loans are under a bit of pressure, there's even more of a push into business lending. So we're seeing a little bit more competitive tension there. But I don't think there's anything irrational or extreme going on in the market.
Has there been any indication this restructure could impact the bank's operations outside of Australia, like the Pacific?
No, and I don't think so. I think the real problem area is the Australian retail division. I mean, it is a big division. And you know, just to compare, its cost-to-income ratio is 62%, New Zealand 39%. So that is really where there is a bit of a bloated cost base. And it is because of the extra investments they're making as well have added to that issue.
And so finally, do you think this is only the start? I think some other banks have talked about job cuts and have made small adjustments along the way. But do you think we'll see other significant cuts from the other banks?
No, I think gradual cuts along the way is probably the most likely path forward. Westpac is the other bank where there is potential for a larger cut to come, in one period as their consolidation and simplification program comes to an end, though.
That's Nathan Zaia there from Morningstar. ANZ shares down about 0.4% today. It follows a weaker day on the Australian share market, off by 0.5% on the S&P ASX 200 at 8,803. 10 of the 11 sectors on the index finished lower, the worst performing energy, followed by healthcare. Only information technology rose. So of the best and worst performing stocks, the worst included PolyNovo, HMC Capital and Pinnacle Investments. The best performing today, Vault Minerals, IDP Education and Capstone. For more on the day's market action, including his analysis of the ANZ news, including what it says about the banking sector, I spoke with Damien Bowie, a portfolio strategist at Wilson Asset Management. Damien, so the ASX is down today despite Wall Street rallying on the prospect of US rate cuts. Why do you think that is?
I think the issue is that in Australia, we're not necessarily going to be going for many more rate cuts. So in the US, people are thinking about, well, if we revise history and the economy was in a worse place than we thought, maybe more rate cuts are appropriate rather than less. But I think in the Australian context, we're actually probably having the discussion about less rather than more. So I think people are having to weigh that up in terms of what that means for the economy and what that means for valuations.
The way it is flowing through to the market, in particular seeing that gold price surge to record highs, is there still more upside, and why do you think?
The gold trade isn't one that I'd necessarily be fighting at this stage. So one of the things that you can see very clearly is whenever you see US long-term interest rates rise relative to short-term interest rates, so what they call a yield curve steepening, you also tend to find that the gold price is going up and the US dollar is falling. There's a lot of thinking about this, but essentially what it comes down to is that investors are skeptical that the Fed is doing the right thing by cutting rates under political pressure. And that's causing some people to get concerned about the inflation targeting credibility of the Fed and the health of the US dollar. Now, whether those concerns are well-founded or not, the reality is that that's actually the way the market is trading at the moment. So we wouldn't be fighting that rally in gold. And yeah, short-term, there probably is a little bit more upside to it.
I think one of the key corporate stories of the day is that of ANZ, 4,500 jobs to go. Why? And what do you think this says, though, about the banking sector?
So there are a lot of pressures that the banking sector is under at the moment, whether you're talking about net interest margins compressing, the competitive landscape with a lot of new entrants into the market. But you've also got some issues, I guess, or some positive reasons for why banks might be looking to get a bit more efficiency out of their business, particularly when it comes to technology and AI and those sorts of things. So it doesn't surprise me, as unfortunate as it is, that we are seeing those sorts of job losses. ANZ has probably got a little bit more of a restructuring story to it with a new CEO coming in. So that explains the quantum. But certainly there are some reasons why we think this trend can continue across the banking sector.
Yeah, can we go into more detail? Are the other banks likely to follow suit?
Well, we already have seen some announcements from different banks to this effect. So, for example, Bank of Queensland has made some announcements a little while ago, as Westpac has as well. So I don't think that this is really off the radar, but obviously it's very topical as we go into an environment which really is quite politically charged. And, of course, we've got the RBA willing to respond to job losses.
And what does it mean for investors? Because haven't we recently seen a rotation out of banking stocks into resources, for example?
Yeah, so when we talk about banks, we often think about Commonwealth Bank, and it's a great franchise, it's a great business, but it has also become a very expensive and crowded trade. So what you've actually seen within the banking sector is that some of the unloved banking exposures, like, say, an ANZ or a NAB, have actually really bounced relative to a CBA, which has been a lot more crowded. So when we talk about the banks, I suppose we need to be a bit careful about which ones we're talking about. But in aggregate, yes, the banking sector under the weight of CBA, you've seen some rotation out of the banks into the resources sector. That's largely a trade about crowding, having to come out. Because in Australia, there was a time where people were buying the banks because it was a safe haven against Asia, or they were buying the banks because they were concerned about the US. So some of those concerns have gone away now, and now we're seeing a bit of rotation. Does it mean that the banking sector and the Australian economy is in a bad place? No, not necessarily at all. That's really just a question about valuation and crowding.
Finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
So I think it's really important to distinguish between the short and medium term. So let me just lay out the medium term picture first. We don't think that the RBA is going to be cutting anywhere near as aggressively as what many people think. So therefore, we think that short-term bond yields, in particular the Australian three-year yield, which a lot of people focus on, probably has room to rise. Now, if you don't think that the US is going to go into a recession here, and right now all the indicators are suggesting that recession probability is still quite low, that sort of regime of low recession probability in the US, combined with rising short-term interest rates in Australia, tends to support mining, diversified financials, insurance stocks, over the rest. Now, that's sort of the longer term picture. Another thing that's worthwhile considering in that long term picture is if you don't think that US 10-year yields can stay as low as they are because of concerns about inflation or credibility or so on and so forth in the US, then you really are talking about a steepening yield curve. And as per previous comments about gold prices going up, but resources in particular going up. That's a great way of protecting a portfolio. So we think that longer term investors need to not necessarily panic. I don't think the world's in a bad place at all, but I do think they need to have some hedges in their portfolio, one against crowded trades unraveling, and two, to position for higher bond yields via cheaper type exposures. That's the medium term picture. The short term picture is that RBA rate cuts are still flowing through to the economy. The economy, as far as I can tell, in Australia is actually still going very well. So that combination is still offering some interest for anybody interested in consumer discretionary names. At the same time, while you've got a lot of people giving some bearish prognostications about where the bond yields will go, the reality is right now bond yields are falling. And there are a lot of forces from a plumbing perspective and from a fundamental perspective that are pushing bond yields down, suppressing our uncertainty about interest rates. When you do that, you tend to find that growth stocks actually do okay. So it's a bit each way depending on your horizon. The short-term picture is very much about cyclicals and growth. The longer-term picture is very much about looking for value and protecting your portfolio against higher short-term interest rates.
That's Damien Bowie there from Wilson Asset Management. And it wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe. And I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.